Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to Numbers chapter number 12, the Old Testament this evening. Numbers chapter number 12 in the Word of God tonight. As we find our place there in Numbers chapter number 12, I took this morning's message that we're not really able to get all the way through, and this afternoon really worked on and kind of have combined this evening service and also several parts of this morning's service. They kind of fit in, and it was not my plan, but as the Holy Spirit began to really speak to me this afternoon, I really began to take two parts and put it into one. So with that, let me say this. You pray for me this evening. This will be a little bit of a different type of message, but then also, number two, I want you to know that it's not going to be 2 hours long. We're still going to get out on time this evening, even though we're combining these two passages, and as the Lord works this evening, I believe that God is going to truly show himself here in this passage of Scripture. So would you please stand with me this evening for the reading of God's Word, Numbers chapter number 12. I'd like to look at verse number 10 tonight, and we're going to back up a little bit this evening as the Holy Spirit allows the time tonight, and we're going to read several more verses, but what I'd like to really concentrate on just for a moment is a key thought here found in Numbers chapter 12. Would you look with me at verse number 10? The Bible says this, "And the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." This evening, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "A Key Ingredient." A Key Ingredient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, once again this evening. Father, for just meeting with us already. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that has been taking place before and after the services. And Savior, there's a hunger for God's Word. There's a hunger for fellowship. And there's a hunger for truth. And Savior, I'm thankful that we could come to a place right here in Indianapolis and find all of those things. Thank you, Savior, for the fellowship. Thank you, Father, for the truth. And thank you, Savior, for continuing to work in our lives. Now, Father, as we approach this passage of Scripture, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. Father, I ask, Lord, even in a different type of message like this, that, Lord, your word would become evident to us. That, Father, whether it's a visitor or Savior, whether it's someone who's attended here at Cross Point for many years, that, Lord, there's something for us. Help us to be hungry for it this evening. Help us to drink, Savior, of your word tonight, and help it to satisfy that thirst. Savior, once again, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we gather here on Sunday night, and if you're visiting with us, we came through our revival services. We had a guest speaker that was here and preached six different messages for us and Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And there's no doubt that God met with us in a great way. Even today, this morning, and this afternoon, and before the services, just folks talking about what God did in their lives, what God did in their families' lives, and the way that he touched us and moved, and the conviction that we felt, and once again, the sin that was confessed. And God did such a great work. But as we saw this morning, what did make the revival this past week so special? Think about it for just a moment. If you think about the songs that we sung this past week, was it the specials or perhaps the hymns that we sang? Well, I would say that most of songs, if not all of them, we've either heard before or we have sang all of them. Maybe we can say it was the guest speaker that we had in, and Brother Mike Schrock, an evangelist for over 25 years. And there's no doubt that God used him and the messages that we heard and the illustrations, the conviction, the altar calls. There's no doubt that God was working, but we've heard Brother Schrock before, most of us, if not all of us. As many times the passage that he was in, we've heard preached from those passages of Scripture. I appreciate Brother Schrock, and I appreciate his prayer and his fasting and coming in, praying about the messages that he was going to bring. To be honest with you, I really liked him up until the point of that last service that he said, I reminded him of Joel Osteen, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of shooed out of here at that point. But we were at the end of revival, so I almost told Deb, hold his love offering if you don't mind, and we'll pray about whether we give it to him or not. But Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and we gave it to him and sent him on his way, and he will never be back. No, I'm just joking. I love him, and God worked in a great way, no doubt, and I appreciate him. Was it the crowd that we had? Boy, it was a great crowd. Every single night, we built a pond, and God met with us, even with some families out because of spring break and vacations and Easter Sunday and things taking place. God, it was still a great crowd, and God met with us. But none of those things really, although they were ingredients to a great revival, it was not the key ingredient. It was not that we could just say, well, yeah, it was that or it was this or it was the song service and or this or that or maybe the weather or whatever the case might be. There was something special that took place. And I want us tonight to look at a sad verse really in the Word of God to see why this key ingredient is so vitally important for you and I to continue to have a rejuvenated heart. For you and I to continue to have a heart that seeks revival, that seeks God meeting with us, that seeks marriages being restored, that seeks teenagers giving their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, that continues to see the baptismal full and people getting saved and baptized and discipled here at Cross Point Baptist Church. Right? Whatever that ingredient is, I want us to look at tonight that it's you and I seeking to continue to have that here, not just once a year, but continually throughout the year on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights, and throughout our services. And even as we go home, that we continue to see that revived hearts, even at home or in our workplace. So let's set a foundation for just a moment here in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to back up just a little bit, and let's look at verse number 1 here and kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at what's taking place. Verse number 1 here of Numbers chapter 12 says this, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, their brother, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he," talking about Moses, "had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman." Now pause right here for just a moment and understand that the patience of Moses was tried once again in his own family as well as by the people that God had given him to lead out of Egypt. The pretense here was that he had married a foreign wife, and because the family's pride most likely was hurt that he had married this foreign lady, that their pride had been so altered in a sense that envy and strife begin to be stirred up in the family. And they begin to talk about their brother. This superior authority that God had placed in their life, now they're beginning to wonder and they're beginning to question the authority that Moses had. It's amazing the opposition that Moses faced in his life oftentimes did not come, all the time did not come from those that were on the outside, although they did face it. It did not come from the enemies of Israel, although they did face it. But the real hurt that Moses had in his life was often from those leaders and or the people, and many times from his own family that God had given him to lead. And that means, let's pause right here and just say this. This is applicable in our life that you and I have to comprehend that sometimes people are going to discourage us. People are not perfect. The families here at Cross Point Baptist Church are not perfect. The people that you live with are not perfect. The folks that you work with and or go to college with or perhaps even share a locker with here or share a locker beside yours here at high school, they are not perfect people. And there are going to be those in our life that maybe, let's put it this way, are not always going to be nice. Not everybody in the Christian realm lives by the verse and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There are going to be those moments in life where somebody that we love or somebody that is dear and near to us is going to make us feel tired or dirty or perhaps ashamed or maybe not to meet their expectation of the way that they think we ought to live. Or maybe we don't meet their standard in whatever practice they may be in. And there are going to be those that maybe they hurt us. But friend, let me put it this way. You and I, like those in the Word of God, perhaps like David and or Joseph and Paul, and even in our story, Moses, who faced opposition from those that loved him or from those that he loved, you and I cannot stop. We must move on for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you and I are going to face problems. You and I are going to face heartache. You and I are going to face hurt in our life. There are those, unfortunately, and this is not easy to say, but there are those that have made it their mission, it seems like, in life, to make others' lives miserable. There are those that are going to be at work that are going to gossip. There are going to be those that live their life to stir up strife. There are going to be those in the family that you get together with at Christmas or perhaps Thanksgiving or Easter or Mother's Day. And they're not just the type of people that you and I ought to be. They are not peacemakers, but they are those that are constantly stirring up that strife. Friend, when it comes to that person, what do you and I do? Do we get in a corner and cower and cry and shut the blinds and get under our covers and put a pillow over our head and just stay there for a couple days? No, what you and I have to do is we must move on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I must continue to seek Him. At times, that person may never ask for forgiveness. Never. You and I may go to heaven, and here on this earth, that person has never come back and humbled themselves and said, you know what, back in 1985, back in 1987, back in 2016, I said something, and it was foolish, and I know it stabbed you in the back, and I know it hurts you, and I know it drove a wedge between us. They may never come back and say, ready for this? Dun-dun-dun-dun, I'm sorry. So what do we do? Well, let's get even. Let's get back at them. Who's with me? Don't raise your hands, okay? Whew, just about a thought. Five of you are like, yeah, we're with you, Pastor. How do we get them back? Facebook. No. We don't. We ready for this? Just move on. If you're with me tonight, say amen. It's time to just, well, move on. Moses is hurt, and unfortunately, he's hurt by his brother and his sister. The ones who are supposed to have his back, the ones who are supposed to be there for him, these are the very ones that begin to stir up strife. Look with me at verse number 2. And they said, now check it out, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Well, now this sheds some light on the matter. Verse number 1 says that they're upset, they're jealous, they're rude in speech because of who Moses had married. But then now in verse number 2, they're saying nothing about that. Now they're saying, well, they're bringing up the very authority of Moses. I mean, has God really only spoken through Moses? I mean, look, we're in the family tree, we're the bloodline. I mean, has God not also spoken through us? They're beginning to question the very relationship that God has with his servant, his leader, Moses. Now, friend, verse number 1 and verse number 2 are very different. There's jealousy taking place. There's people that are upset because of why? Whom Moses had married. And yet, verse number 2, here's the very question that they bring up. Well, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Excuse me. Hath he not spoken also by us? Friend, let's put it this way. You and I live in the Christian life life, if we can comprehend this very quickly, early on in our Christian life, it's going to help us live a much happier life in Jesus. That is this: you and I, you ready, will never please everyone. There is no way. It is impossible. You and I cannot do it. There is just no way. And we have learned this through COVID. We have learned this in our Christian life. We have learned this in the school. We have learned this in ministry. We have learned this with the weather. There are some weirdos out there that absolutely love the rain and the dark skies. And oh, just let it be a couple more weeks of this. I shouldn't call you weirdos, but let me just say, that's not Pastor Shepherd. I'd rather see blue skies and sunshine and birds singing, and it's a Disney story, and they all lived happily ever after. Amen. That's me. But let's just say this: we're not always going to get along. There are some in this very auditorium right now that you are sweating because it is too hot, and there are others that are looking for an Afghan or some kind of thicker down coat to put on because it's freezing. Understand this: we will never please everyone. There are always going to be those that try to get our eyes off of the mission, off of what we're here for. There are always going to be those that will come through the services that we've been seeing over the last several months, and God working, and a packed house, and offerings coming in, and missionaries being supported, and young kids being saved and baptized, and marriages being restored, and teenagers getting their life right. And there's always going to be those that, well, I mean, I don't really like this, and I don't really know if we should be doing this, and I'm not real comfortable with the worship, and I'm not real comfortable. Let me just put it this way. Understand this. There are going to be those that will always dabble in the pettiness of life. And you and I as Christians ought to understand very quickly, we do not have time to get down in the mud and argue about the petty things of life. There are people that are dying, and there are people that are going to spend an eternity in hell, and we don't have time to get and wrestle back and forth over the minute things of should we wear black shoes or brown shoes, or should we wear a tie or not. Wear a tire? Should it be 70 degrees in the auditorium, or should it be 68? And well, the 68, we're sitting over here, and the 70s, we're sitting over here, and well, we're going to campaign, and we're going to give people friends. I'm just here to tell you, there are those who are perishing and those who are dying, and the gospel must go forth without getting our mind on that nonsense. Do we comprehend what God is doing in our midst? Would you understand? Look, what's taking place over the last several months, post-COVID, it's not happening everywhere. God is stirring us up. I personally believe it's because we're living in the end times. I think we are, this is just me, and I know we've said it for many years, but I really have a feeling, biblically speaking, that God's coming back very, 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 how many more done it? Very, 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 very soon. This is very soon. I thought it was going to be once we got our grass planted. I kind of had a feeling. I don't have mud anymore, and then God's going to come back. I'm going to go up looking at, look how beautiful that grass is. Didn't even get to enjoy it. My dog didn't even get to enjoy it. Actually, he would, because he's not going to heaven. Uh-oh, just upset some folks. But nevertheless, God is coming back. And there are going to be those that will always try to pull and upset and campaign and let's use this word, insinuate. Be careful, beware, church, of the insinuation of those that are opposed to or trying to stop what God is doing. Because often it's not going to come from outside of these walls. It's going to come from the very pews that you and I sit in. Now, are you with me? Say amen. The reason I'm doing that is because it gets a little awkward when nobody says amen, because it's like, what does Pastor know that we don't know? Let me just put it this way. I don't know. Nobody's told me anything. But to be honest with you, the pastor is always the last one to find out. Have you noticed that? Like, they're always going to go to Carrie before they go to me. It's just the way it is. I don't know. I haven't heard. I feel like the Holy Spirit's pressing me to say what I'm saying this evening. So why don't we just take it to heart and comprehend that there are those that were in the inner circle that are now hurting the very testimony of Moses. But I want you to look here at the last part of this verse and watch very carefully. Now look what it says here. It says this, and the Lord, say those last two words out loud. Heard it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Ah, we're upset. We're mad. Who Moses, man? I mean, look, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, is God really only working through Moses? And can he not work through us as well? Guess who might not have been there? Moses. Guess who might not have been there? Friends of Moses. It's like, maybe not all of the inner circle was there, but I'm telling you who was there, because the Bible says that God was there and God heard it. That means this, he's listening and he's watching. That means, friend, tonight, you and I might not have every deed and every thought displayed on these screens, and you and I may not always know the inner heart, what it might have in it, or the inner mind of what it might be thinking in each other, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ does, and there are no secrets with God. You and I can come in and we can fool each other, but friend, I'm here to tell you, you and I cannot fool God. We can come in here and act like everything's rainbows and butterflies, and boy, everything's great and it's wonderful, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm just the greatest person in the world. Friend, maybe we are, maybe we're not. We may never know, but I'm here to tell you, God knows. He knows. Oh, we can send that little text message, that little letter. Nobody else knows. I'm here to tell you, God knows. We can look at somebody with envy and hate and pride and arrogancy, and that person may never know. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved tonight, God knows what's taking place. Friend, it has been and will continue to be for as long as I have lungs in my breath to preach that, friend, you and I look on the outward appearance, but God does not. He knows our hearts. And I would rather have a youth group that has developed young people here at Cross Point Baptist Church that are on fire and have a real zeal for God. Maybe their hair is a little bit longer than you like it, or maybe they're not as respectful as maybe we think they ought to. But I'm here to tell you, I'd rather have a young person that maybe doesn't have the haircut that I want them to have, or the tie that's on straight, or the signed shoes, that has a heart for God, rather than somebody that has all of those things. And you know what they're doing? They're just like the circus. They're putting on a show, friend. May you and I never walk in these doors and get to a place where we're just, boy, look at us, and look at me, and boy, look, I am just the man. I'm the Christian. Boy, look at how big my Bible is, and look at me, I'm on time, and boy, look how I sing, and look how I play, and look how I teach, and boy, I'm just telling you, I am everything. And God looks at the hearts and says, nope, you are as a dead man's bones on the inside. You are dried up, and there is nothing there. God forbid that we ever get to a place here where we are one big show, friend. Let me tell you something. God looks at that, and because you are neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, we disgust God when we live like that. He said, I'd rather you have you hot or cold. Why? You're cold, you can get saved. You're hot, you're mission-minded. Because you're lukewarm, we make him literally sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth, is what he says. And friend, maybe you have company here tonight, and you brought visitors, you're thinking, Pastor, tone it back, man. Like, they're never going to come back. Friend, this message is for all of us. If you're visiting here tonight, I don't want you to think coming in like, dude, this church has mega problems. Like, they're about to have a church split. No, friend, we're just going to keep preaching the Word of God so we never even get to that point where we're thinking that. Let's just call it what it is. Did Jesus not get to the table with the 12 disciples and say, one of you is going to, what, betray me? I mean, he's just, you talk about putting it out on the table, friend. It's 12 guys looking at it. It's you. Yep, I knew it. Thomas, you big doubter. Boy, John, you've been writing all this stuff down. It's got to be you. I mean, they're going back and forth. They're wondering. Friend, you always feel like he's preparing them. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to prepare us as a church that we never even get close to all the hundreds, if not thousands, of Baptist churches that have had church splits and families go here and families go here and let's start a church across the street and let's put a 10 over here. And friend, may I tell you, 10 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with theology. It has nothing to do with the gospel. It has all to do with, well, what I want and I'm not getting my way, so there. Friend, that is what is taking place in verse number 1 and verse number 2. God forbid it ever happen here. Amen. Why don't we just commit tonight to not letting it happen? Amen. Like, I mean, let's pray a circle around this place. Like, we're excited right now. I don't know if you know, but I'm like real excited. I'm just like super, super excited about what God is doing. And man, the smiles and COVID's going away. And people are coming back. And man, we're just singing out. And I mean, God is working here. We love it. Mm-hmm. Satan hates it. Oh, he's not going to leave us alone. Satan's not sitting there saying, well, Brother Jim, you had a great revival service. I guess I'll try next year. Excuse me. We just put like a huge bullseye on the steeple here. He's not impressed with our past victories of last week. Oh, it's Easter. Woo, woo. Resurrection Sunday. Brother Mike Schrock, play the trumpet. Oh, it's good. It's great. Isn't that good? Oh, okay. Wow, God's going to continue to work. I'm just here to tell you, friend, if we're not careful, we're going to get so lazy and apathetic that we forget to pray, God, this is about you. God, protect this place. God, keep Satan and his minions far from our marriage, far from our teenagers. Look, he knows camp is coming up. Anybody realize that? Well, I know the parents do because we just paid a ton of money to get them there. You know what I'm saying? Our checkbooks know it. But let me just tell you, Satan knows our teenager is about to load up in a bus and go for a week without cell phone, without YouTube, without TikTok, and their Bibles are going to be open like 3-4 times a day. Wouldn't that be fun if all of us could go do that? Amen? We're going to be sitting in our teenagers. You know what that means? He's going to do everything he can to derail what God is doing through Pastor Blake and through Charlotte up there in that youth room above the gym. Well, friend, I'm just going to preach it plain tonight. He's going to throw every pornographic video he can in their face. He is going to throw every camp, I'm talking about basketball, baseball, tennis, football, he's going to throw every camp he can. Well, now we're having camp, so I guess what? I'm sorry, Pastor Blake, we're going to have to take them out of Bible camp, and we're going to have to put them in this camp. And isn't it funny? I'm telling you, mark my words, Satan will do it the exact same week our kids are supposed to be loading up and heading off. Well, mark my words. If it doesn't come true, then it doesn't come true. And praise the Lord, it doesn't. But Satan's after him. Can I put it this way? Now look. This is a different type of message. I don't even care anymore. Look, can all of those, now do it quickly. Can all of those who work on Wednesday night with our kids, could you please stand for just a moment? That means you're not in the main auditorium. You work with our kids and or our teenagers. So it's Pastor Blake and Charlotte, the Coates, if you'd please stand over here. Go ahead, stand up real quick. The Yiders, Nicole, Ben and Kristen, the Arrowwoods. So we got two in here. And then everybody kind of look around real quick. Now look around. Matt and Susan over here. Every Wednesday night, I praise the Lord for these folks because we come in, we drop our kids off, and we live happily ever after. And they're up there putting up with I don't want to call them brats, but like our kids. I don't call my kids brats. I don't know what yours are. They're brats. But they're putting up with the kids each and every week. Now, Matt and Susan, let me be very honest with you. Satan hates what you guys are teaching up there. Despises it. I've seen the curriculum. I asked Ben and Kristen, let me look over some stuff, and they shared with me what they're teaching, what they're doing. We're talking about our kids are getting missionary stories. they're learning, I mean, like the anti-Diluvian period, they're learning, I mean, this is crazy what you guys are going through. They're teaching them theology. They're teaching them about Jesus. It's gospel focused. They are taking our teenagers, our kids every Wednesday night, and they are bringing them through, like, I think it's 7 weeks long. Is that what it was, Brother Ben? Seven? Sit down, Ben. Just kidding. It's 12 weeks. It's 12 weeks long. Is that right, Nicole? It's 12 weeks long. It's a 12-week long program. Can I just be honest? If you're here tonight and you're visiting, you have young kids, you want to, if you're watching via live stream, you want your kids here on a Wednesday night. It is incredible what they're doing with our kids. I'm going to say it like this. Remain standing. And wow, I just have so much to say. Brother Shock took all my time. So I got, it's just coming. It's just coming. Now listen. I'm going to put it this way. Our kids, Carrie, would you not say without a doubt, all of five of our kids are saved, and they are saved because of Sunday school teachers like this. Amen. Like, I mean, we are good parents, and we love our kids, but I'm here to tell you, what they were getting on Sundays and Wednesdays, it helped our kids come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of people like you. I appreciate men and women like you. I still am friends with my first junior church leader, Dale Strickland. I still keep in contact with him. I've written him several letters and thanked him. When I was from a little kid, we're talking 30 years ago, I still remember my kindergarten teacher. Her name was Nyla Johnson, the sweetest lady. I was so shy. Can you believe that? I was so shy. I'd go into class and I would hug her, like I'd just hug her leg because I didn't want to go sit down. This little weird homeschool kid, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, I can't this. I'm too scared. I remember she was the sweetest lady and I learned under her. His name, Nyla Johnson and Dale Strickland. I remember True Marshall, one of the first ones I ever worked with and sat under in my first and second grade and Sunday school teacher in church. I still remember their names. You know why? They impacted my life. Now, Ben, Kristen, Mark, Debbie, there are going to be those who are going to try to derail you. Now, not always as things every Sunday go great and good. Sometimes a kid, Nora, where's Nora? She asleep? She's asleep. Good. I'll talk about Nora. Nora just kind of runs into walls here lately. Like, what is wrong with that girl? Like, she's kind of klutzy a little bit. Maybe in Sunday school she gets hurt. And parents, I don't want to be the type of parent that comes up and just starts yelling at our teachers. Brother Bert, are you kidding me? Are you not watching my kid? I'm game to you, and here they are, and they got hurt. And because to be honest with you, my words hurt Brother Arrowwood. And God forbid it ever be us that derail one of our teachers from being in a position that God has placed them in. Friend, look, discouragement is a real thing. And discouragement comes from others. I wonder when's the last time we walked up to a Nicole who, dude, if Nicole, I'm telling you, if you were a male, you'd be an awesome preacher. I'm just telling you, like, that girl could run a church. My word, I'm so thankful for her. Just praise the Lord for her. I'm just telling you, when's the last time we just walked up to Nicole and just said, Nicole, thank you. I mean, thank you. I think oftentimes we don't go to anyone until something bad happens. Isn't that the way? Like, how often do we go up to Pastor Chris and say, Pastor Chris, just want to tell you, appreciate you, and thank you for that song today. It's my favorite hymn, but just speaks to me. Probably rare. I mean, usually it's, oh, Pastor Chris, I don't like that song, and I'm just, I don't know, it was this or that. Or we don't ever think about the guys that are back there and run the video camera until we're at home, and I'm over here, and the camera's showing up there. What are they doing back there? Are they just playing, you know, Uno or Old Maid, or what's going on? Or the sounds of the, everybody's like, oh, everybody looks back there. What's going on? You know, well, that's the last time we just went up and said, hey, thank you so much, guys. Every week sitting up in that soundboard. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Yo, Brother Coates and Miss Peggy that are standing over here, to be honest with you, they don't have to be up with the teenagers. They're not paid. They're not sitting here saying, well, you know, you bring in two more teenagers, we'll up your pay a little bit, because we do not pay them. You know what they do? They volunteer to be up there. Hey, teenager, can I just say this? You're talking about a husband and a wife that have an incredible relationship, that love the Lord, and could be sitting in here relaxing every Wednesday night, just soaking up the Word. But they get off work right here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and Brother Ted, whatever you do, you're like a rocket scientist. And then, and they come, and you know what they do? They give their time, teenager, to you. You know why? They love you. And teenager, I just wonder if you have ever walked up to them and just said, I know you don't have to be up here, but thank you for being up here. Thank you. See, it's Aaron and Miriam that started this mess. Thank you very much. You may be seated. They started it. Can I tell you, I don't know, Deb, I think you run the schedule here. I don't know how many ladies work in nursery. Is that you that is, who does the schedule? Lene? Okay, Lene runs it. So, Lene, are you here this evening? Probably the nursery. Lene sets a schedule, and there's all these ladies, and on the bulletin each and every week, we get it, and we read through, oh, they're in the nursery. You know, whoo, bless their hearts, you know, hope they get through it. And they're in the nursery, and they're getting through, and it's the babies, and it's crying, it's dirty diapers, and it's I'm just telling you, whether we have a baby in there or not, when's the last time we just went in and said, hey, ladies, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for serving. Thank you. It'd go a long way. It'd go a long way. The Sunday school teachers here, let's be honest, they're not perfect. And maybe there's a week they had to hurry and they had to put together a lesson and they walk in there. Maybe it was obvious. You know, maybe that's the type of Sunday where we go up and encourage them. Hey, Brother Harvey, I just want to tell you, this series was really incredible. Thank you so much for teaching. So much for teaching. See, church, the tongue can be used for so much more than tearing somebody down. It ought to be used for lifting them up. Amen. Loving each other. Isn't it amazing the verse, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples? That what? You show up for church on time? Mm-mm. That you love one another. It goes a long way when we walk up to somebody. Josh, Gloria, just want to tell you that song you sang, Touch My Heart. Who was it that sang this morning? Was it Sarah that sang this morning? I mean, there's a college student that's visiting back home. She didn't have to take the time to sing, and it's nerve-wracking to get up there. But, you know, I wonder how many of us went up and said, Sarah, I just want to tell you, that song was really incredible. Thank you for taking the time to learn it and to sing it in praise and honor and worship of our Savior. See what we're doing? We're lifting each other up. The piano is not, I praise the Lord for all our piano players and our organ players, but these instruments took years to learn. We can have a thankful heart. Thank you. The men that stand out and each and every Sunday, and there's guys out front, there's guys at this door, there's guys that were, I mean, we see them, they've got these little microphones in their ears, and it's not secret service. I mean, they're here to help us, to keep us safe. And, you know, when's the last time, Dirk, I see you, when's the last time you just went up and said, hey, Dirk, just thank you. Excuse me, friend, what are we doing here? We're saying this. Here's a brother and sister that begin to tear down. Now, we haven't started, we're just laying the foundation, but begin to tear down. I think what we need at Cross Point Baptist Church is the opposite. Lift up. Lift up. There is no one in this room that is perfect. We can look at even the doing the crucifix, and we understand it's a Sunday night crowd, but I'm serious. I'm just sharing my heart this evening. There's some that look at that and say, oh, Pastor, you know, I was this, that. We don't understand that nobody's perfect. It's a joke sometimes, or it's this, or, well, you know, you recognize Matt and Susan, and, well, how come you didn't recognize my mom and my dad? And we have to put the pettiness aside, and we have to comprehend that there's no one in this room that's perfect. There's nobody. So, well, let's let them know how perfect we are by telling them how foolish and how fill in the blank they are. No. We love each other. And friend, that's To be honest with you, that's all we're going to go tonight. We're just going to stop right there. Say, Pastor, what do we do from here? I think this evening, here's what we talk to the Lord about. Is as we continue over the next several weeks to talk about this key ingredient, I think we take time tonight and pray for someone else. Can we do that? I don't know who God's going to lay on my heart, but here's what I'm going to do with me and my family. We're going to come up. Brother Brett, we're going to pray for somebody in this room. I'm going to ask you this evening, whether it be someone like a Ted and Peggy, or maybe it's somebody as like Burton and Christina Arrowwood, or Pastor and Mrs. Defoe, or the pastor family would welcome it. Maybe it's Darren. Maybe it's the Unruh family. Maybe it's whoever it is. As God lays someone on your heart tonight, we can all be involved in this. Nobody has to be excluded. Well, I'm not a member. Who cares? It's our God. Let's talk to him. I'm going to ask us this evening, if we can, dads, bring our families down and let's just come up here. And or if you can't make it up, you'd like to sit or kneel right where you're at. I'm going to ask us all to be involved in this invitation tonight and to lift each other up. Pray for somebody. Well, I don't really know their name. Well, God does. And you know where they sit. And I don't think I've ever prayed for Coach Schneider and his wife before. But tonight I just feel like God's laying on my heart to pray for them. Then let's pray for them. I don't know if I've ever prayed for Pastor Dan and his wife and their family. And okay, if that's who God lays on your heart, let's pray for them tonight. Let's just take the time. I'm going to ask